B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to start six lines from the top of the Omud. In the previous sugya on Daf Yud, we started at the bottom of Daf Yud Omud Aleph, a sugya of Kol Alishka Is Shehoyu B'Mikdosh Lohoyu Lehen Mezuzah. We started discussing the halachas of the mezuzah in the chamber of the Palhedrin and other chambers in the Beis HaMikdosh. Now the Gemara is continuing with some of the ideas and the halachas of mezuzah, and we will get back to the Kodesh, to the Beis HaMikdosh, a little bit later. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Bish Orecha. We know that it says in the Pasuk, Uchsavta Mal Mezuzah Is Beisecha, Uvish Orecha, that you have to write a mezuzah, place a mezuzah on the doorposts of your homes and on your gates, on your entrances, the Sha'orim. So the Braisa says, Echot Sha'ari Batim, this is the Sha'orim, the gates, the openings into the homes of Echot Shari Chatzeirois, the gates into the courtyards of Echot Shari Medinois, into the cities of Echot Shari Ayorois, also different types of cities and towns, and not all towns have openings, have gates, have entrances. Some cities are just open all around, but there are those that are surrounded by mountains, and there's a very unique and distinct way of entering the city, and there's a gates there. And those gates need to have a mezuzah. If assuming, Rashi says, assuming that most of the inhabitants of the place are from Klal Yisrael. Yesh ben chayvas mitzvah lemokim. Mishum shenem aruchsavtam al mezuzah is beisecho v'sharecho. There is a chiyuv to put a mezuzah there, since that's what it says in the Pasuk. Uchsavtam al mezuzah is beisecho, but not only on your homes, ubish orecho, on the gates too. Says the Gemara, Omale abayelur of Safra. Hana avulei de mechuzah. The gates going into a place called mechuzah. My tamale of dulhu rabbon and mezuzah. Why did the chachamim not make sure there was a mezuzah there? Obviously, most of the people living there were from Israel, and we said that the gates going into cities and towns need to have a mezuzah. Omarle, Sir Safra answered back to Abaya. Hanu chizuk leakra de kubi huda avida. Those gates that were leading into this place, mechuzah, they were there just to support the tower called Kubi, and towers were built on top of arches, and the arch under this tower, there happened to be an entranceway into the place, and since it was made in order to strengthen the tower on top of it, they felt there was no need to put a mezuzah on the gateway in that entranceway. Omerle, so Abaya said back to Rav Safra, "V'akro de kube gufa tiboye mezuzah." This entranceway, this gate underneath the tower, was actually the entranceway into the tower and into the city, and that in its own right should be necessary, should require a mezuzah. That's what Rashi says. They used to come into this tower through this entranceway. And the Gemara adds in, Deha ispa dira l'shomer beiso asurin. And I'm not sure why Rashi says a different explanation, but the Gemara says that this entranceway actually had in it a little home, a little dira, a little dwelling place for the guard of the prisoners that was sitting there. And that in itself is a reason that you should need to put a mezuzah on those gates. Deha tani we learnt in a braisa, beis hakneses, a shul, sheyesh wa beis dira. In the event that there is a place, a room in that shul, in the building, where lechazna knesses, for the chazna of the shul, could dwell in, then chayeves b'mezuzah, it's chayev b'mezuzah. So if so, why over here, why did this, the gates into mechuzah, why didn't they have a mezuzah? Even though the tower on top of it was supported on these gateways, but the gate in its own right should need a mezuzah. Elo amar Abaya explained that. And Ms. Abaya heard the question and said that the reason that there was no mezuzah on the gates of mechuzah was not because they were there just to strengthen the tower on top of it, rather mishum sakona. It would have been dangerous to put a mezuzah on those gates. The Tanya we learnt in a braisa, mezuzahs yochid, a private person's mezuzah, a mezuzah in a person's home, nivdekes pamayim b'shavua, twice in 7 years, Approximately once in 3.5 years, a person should check his mezuzahs. V'shel rabim, however, in mezuzahs that are in a public place, in courtyards, entrances into cities and towns, pamayim b'yovel, approximately once in 25 years, twice in a yovel. V'omer b'yuda, And the reason for that is, as we're about to see, Maisa Ba'artovin Echod. There was this incident with this Artovin, which was either the name of a person or the name of his profession. Shahoya Boydik Mezuzois Beshuk Ha'elyon Shel Tzipuri. He was accustomed to checking people's mezuzos in the marketplace, the upper marketplace in Tzipuri. Umotzi Kazdor Echod, and an officer found him checking the mezuzos, V'notal Mimenu Elef Zuz, and fined him 1,000 zuz. Why? Because he thought that he was engaged in witchcraft. And for that reason, they would only check the mezuzahs in public places much more rarely. And for that reason, Abaya said, in the entranceway of the place mechuzah, they chose not to put any mezuzah because they knew that there would be the moishel, the ruler of the place, would use it as an excuse to accuse Klal Yisrael and to make trouble for the Eden who were living there, thinking that they were engaged in witchcraft, putting all sorts of amulets at the entrance of a city, and therefore they didn't do it. Asks the Gemara of Omer Belozer, Shluchim Mitzvah Ein Nizokin. We have a rule we saw in Psochim Daf Ches and in other places that people who are on their way to doing a mitzvah have a special protection and do not get hurt. And therefore here too, putting a mezuzah, checking mezuzahs and putting a mezuzah on the doors, on the gates, that should protect us from any harm. Says the Gemara, no. Heichad Dekviya Zeika Shani, in a place where it's common that there should be a damage, or in a place where it's susceptible to be hurt, then we don't use the rule of Shluchi Mitzvah Inu Nizokin. And since the rulers were always looking for excuses to cause trouble to the Eden, that's called Shchiyah Chazeika, that the damages are common, and therefore we do not use the rule of Shluchi Mitzvah Inu Nizokin. Where would we find proof for this in Psukim, that even though Shluchi Mitzvah Inu Nizokin, but if it's Shchiyah Chazeika, then We do not rely on that extra protection. Tehsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayoyime Shmuel, and we have to remember, we're talking here about Hashem told Shmuel, a Novi, told him, go and anoint David HaMelech and make him the next king. An explicit mitzvah, an explicit command by Hashem. What did Shmuel say to Hashem? He didn't say, of course I'm going. Shmuel said, Eich Eilech, how can I go? Vosham HaShol, and Shaul, who was the previous king, will hear that I'm coming to anoint David HaMelech, Vargoni, and he's going to kill me. Vayemer Hashem, Hashem didn't say to him, I told you to go, why are you asking questions? Hashem said, you're right. Egras Bokor Tikach, take a calf with you, Biodecha, in your hands. Vomarton, when you go, you should say, Lizboyach Lashem Bosi, no, I'm just coming innocently to bring a korban. Whilst you're there, you'll anoint David HaMelech. So you see clearly that even though there was a mitzvah from Hashem, how he could not rely on Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin, because Shaul was on the lookout for the people who were trying to undermine his kingdom. He had something against David HaMelech. You look in there in the Shmuel Aleph, the whole story. And therefore, Shmuel did not want to rely on Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin. And therefore, Hashem told him, take a korban with you, take an animal with you. So you see there clearly that you do not use the rule of Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin where it's Shchicha Hazeka. Now, before we start the next Gemara, I want to make a short introduction and then the Gemara will be very safe sailing. The Gemara is going to discuss the requirement of mezuzah in different types of buildings, different types of rooms. We know that beisecha, anything which is a home, which is used for dwelling, for residence, is chayev in mezuzah. What happens if you have rooms that are used, they're used by people but not for people? Or maybe it's more accurately used for people, not by people. What do I mean? You have all sorts of storage rooms where you're storing straw, animals, wood, other storage. And that's what we're going to discuss now. Now, these storage rooms, they could be used for one of three things. Number one is called stoma. Stoma means that it's just, we take it for granted that they are used primarily just for what they're made for. Stoma, that means they're used for storing of straw, and this one to store animals, and here to store woods, and whatever it may be, it's used for storage. That means there's no intent for a person to actually use it for their own type of residence, for their own uses. They just use it to store their items there, and the animals, and to use it as storage. That's called stoma. And then you have a case where it actually is used. It's not a regular room. It's not a person's bedroom or dining room. It's a storage room for animals or wood or whatever it may be. But women would go in there to be miskashtois, to adorn themselves. That means it would be used by women who wanted to do modestly, to do their updos or whatever they were doing. And it's called that they would go in their mekashtos. And that would be a little bit more reason to be chayav mezuzah, even more than stoma, where in stoma, it's not really used by a person. People don't go in there and use the room in and of itself. And then you have another category, which is reichatzos, which is actually a step further away from being chayav mezuzah, which is even further removed from mezuzah than stoma. And that's where women would go in there to bathe. And bathing is something where typically a woman would be inappropriately dressed. It's appropriate to be dressed that way or not dressed that way in the bathing room. But since she's that level of dress, it's inappropriate to hang a mezuzah there. And those are the three things. And often women would use these storerooms in order to bathe there. It's very humble. It's out the way. And they would go into some storeroom and bathe there. So the question is, stoma, these oitzreis, these storage places that are just stoma, are they chayev mezuzah or not? That's one fundamental question. Another question will be, in the event that it's miskashtois, then even if you said that stoma was potter from mezuzah, does miskashtois make it chayev? And on the other side, even if stoma was chayev, does reichatzois make it potter? That's going to be the big discussion here. And we're going to see in the Gemara that everybody agrees that reichatzois, that a room that's used for activities that are inappropriate to have a mezuzah there, those rooms are potter from mezuzah. Regarding stoma, that's going to be a machlokes between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana says that there's actually going to be a machlokes tanoim if stoma is chayev or stoma is potter. Rav Yehuda is going to argue and say that everybody agrees stoma is potter, and there's going to be machlokes whether if it's miskashtos, if women go into these storerooms in order to adorn themselves, if that makes it chayev or potter, that's going to be a machlokes tanoim. Now, this is just a basic overview, and it's going to be based on an analysis of five brises. We're going to analyze five different brises, and obviously the brises are Tanoim, Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda are Meiroim, and we're going to have to see how Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda weave their way between these brises to uphold their own opinions. And at the end, we'll see that there's going to be one brisa that's going to disprove Rav Yehuda, that's going to refute Rav Yehuda's opinion, and Rav Kahana's opinion will stand. Says the Gemara, Toni Rav Kahana kameid Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana said the following brisa to Rav Yehuda, and this is brisa number one. And we'll note what the brisa actually says explicitly and what's not explicit in the brisa. The brisa says, Beisa teven, a storeroom for straw, Beisa bokor, where animals are stored, or Beisa eitzim, for wood, or Beisa oitzreis, or other storage, peturin min hamezuzah. They are potur. And the brisa says the following four words, that the reason is, Mipnei shehanoshim oisois bohen. Because women use those rooms. We have to know what that means. The brisa says they're potur because they use the rooms. It's very ambiguous, says the Gemara. First and foremost, this is Rav Kahana saying, let's first understand what na'oisois means. Says Rav Kahana, na'oisois, what does it mean? My na'oisois, reichatzois. That the reason that in all these places there's no chiyuv of mezuzah is because the women are na'oisois, they use it, and Rashi says it means a term of having hanah, pleasure there, they're bathing there, and therefore it's potur. That's how Rav Kahana understood the explanation of the brisa of na'oisois. Omele Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda commented to Rav Kahana and said, just a minute, if you're explaining the brisa that the only reason that these storage rooms are potur is because women are bathing there, tama d'reichatzos, ha stoma chayovin. So you, Rav Kahana, hold that if not for the fact they were bathing there, if it was just storage rooms stoma, then you would say that they are chayev. Well, says Rav Yehuda, I have a problem with that. V'otanya, I've got a brisa. This is brisa number two. We'll soon see what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do with brisa number one. But at first, he's disproving Rav Kahana's approach to brisa number one from brisa number two. What are we going to see in brisa number two? We're going to see explicitly that stoma is potur. It says that refes bokor, a barn for cattle, ptura mina mezuzah. It doesn't say it's only potter if women are bathing there. It says stoma. A barn is potter from mezuzah. So Rabbi Yehuda determines from this brisa number two, that stoma is potter. So if so, we have an issue with brisa number one. In brisa number one, it says that it's only potter because mepnei sha'noshim na'isa yisbohen. If stoma is potter, it should be potter without any because. Says that Rabbi Yehuda is actually going to change the first brisa. Elamai na'isais. What does na'isais mean? First of all, na'isais doesn't mean bathing, it means miskashtos. They adorn themselves there. If so, the question comes back, how can you say that the reason that it's potter from mezuzah is because women adorn themselves there? That doesn't read. If anything, the fact that women adorn themselves there is the reason to be chayev mezuzah, not potter. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to read it the other way around. Not mipnei, because women adorn themselves there. Afalpi, even though she'anosha miskashtes bahen pturin. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda holds potter. And he reads into the first brisa, not only is stoma potter, but even miskashtes doesn't help and is potter. Omale Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana said to Rav Yehuda, so you Rav Yehuda are saying what? Number one, you're arguing with me. I Rav Kahana said stoma is chayev. You Rav Yehuda say stoma is potter, and you brought brisa number two for that. Okay. Maybe we'll come back to that. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, hold from brisa number one, the way you understand brisa number one, that if women are miskashtois, it doesn't help. And it's also potter from mezuzah. Well, I've got an issue with that. From brisa number three, van shanoshim miskashtois ben pturin. Are you suggesting that noshim miskashtois is potter? So according to Rav Kahana himself, he wouldn't have an issue because he says even if they're not miskashtois, even stoma, it's chayev. You, Rabbi Yehuda, are choosing to argue with me with stoma, and you're telling me that not only is stoma potter, but even miskashta is potter. Here I have an explicit brisa against you. Brisa number three, v'otanya, refes bokor, ptura mina mezuzah, that a barn is potter from mezuzah, v'shehanoshim miskashta is bo, chayeves b'mezuzah. However, if a woman, if women are adorning themselves there, then even though the beginning of this brisa seems to say, or does say, that stoma is chai, stoma is potur, refes boka ptura mina mezuzah, and we'll soon see that Rav Kahana is going to have to deal with that, because Rav Kahana holds stoma is chayev, as we saw from the way he understood the first brisa, that that's only potur because reichatzos. So we'll soon see Rav Kahana is going to establish it's machloikas tanoim, so it's okay. So, refes boka ptura mina mezuzah, that's stoma. However, v'shanoshim miskashtos, it's explicit in the brisa that if women are adorning themselves there, then chayeves b'mezuzah, then that room is chayev b'mezuzah. And according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, you're learning in the first brisa that the reason that the brisa says potur afal pi shanoshim miskashtos, the way you're learning the first brisa is contrary to what it says explicitly in brisa number three. Elomai islach lemeimer. So what you, how are you, Rabbi Yehuda, going to explain this? What are you going to say? You're going to say miskashtois tanoihi. You're going to say that there's a machlekas tanoim whether miskashtois is chayev or miskashtois is potur. You're going to have to say that because you learned the first brisa to say miskashtois is potur, and brisa number three says explicitly miskashtois is chayev. So if so, ledidi nami, Rav Kahana is now justifying himself. Say, I also hold stoma tanoihi. Even though I said that, Rav Kahana said that stoma is chayev, and you, Rabbi Yehuda, had a problem and said, what do you mean? How can you say stoma is chayev? You brought brisa number two to say that stoma is potur. Well, I'll tell you, it's a machloikas tanoim. Like, you have to say it's a machloikas tanoim if miskashtos is chayev or potur. Well, I'll tell you that it's a machloikas tanoim if stoma is chayev or potur. And therefore, there's no issue between Rav Kahana, the way I explained brisa number one, that stoma is chayev, and brisa number three, that stoma is potur. D'tanya. And now we're going to take brisa number four, and brisa number four actually explicitly has a machlokes tanoim, and we're going to see that Rav Kahana is going to understand the machlokes tanoim as being a machlokes if stoma is chayev or not, and Rav Yehuda is going to explain that brisa as being a machlokes whether miskashtos is chayev or potur, and Rav Yehuda will see in that brisa that stoma is going to be potur according to both opinions, and then everything so far will be okay. The Tanya, what does it say in brisa number four? Beisecho, We know that it says in the pasuk, "Uchsavto al mezuzah is beisecho uvish orecho." Beisecho, the basic translation would be hamayuchad lecho. It's a home that's unique for you, prat. And this excludes types of homes that are not used for your own personal dwelling, your own personal residence, but you're using it for storage for other things. Lebeis ha-teven, or lebeis ha-bokor, or lebeis ha-eitzim, or lebeis ha-oitzreis, that we saw before. Shepturin min ha-mezuzah. The Tanakamas say that all these things, beis ha-teven, beis ha-bokor, etc., they are potter from mezuzah. V'yesh mechayivim, a second opinion, a yesh oimrim, the second opinion says chayiv. That's stage one of the Braisa, that there's just a machlekas, potter chayiv. And we don't yet know, potter why, potter when, the Braisa doesn't really tell us. The Braisa seems to be talking about even stoma, but we'll come to that. The next part of the Braisa is be'emes omru, and the truth is that beis hakisei, a place where a person relieves themselves, or beis haborsiki, a tannery that has very bad smell, or beis hamerchatz, a bathhouse, or beis hatfila, where people go into the mikveh, and a room where women that women use, pturin min ha-mezuzah. For those, it's inappropriate to have a mezuzah, and therefore it's potter, and it's similar to the roichatzois potter that we saw before. Everybody agrees with that. So this is the end of the braisa. The first part of the braisa is talking about all those storage houses where it's a machloikas in the braisa. And then you have the second part of the braisa speaking about those places which are inappropriate for mezuzah. Everybody agrees that there's no chi of mezuzah. So that's just the braisa. And then obviously Rav Kahana is going to explain it his way. And Rav Kahana himself holds there's a machloikas whether stom is chayiv or not. He's going to read that into the braisa. Rav Yehuda, who holds that everybody agrees stoma is potur, he's going to have to read into the braisa that the machlekas is when it's miskashtus. Rav Kahana mataretz l'tameh, Rav Kahana is going to read into this braisa to follow his own perception of the sugya. Rav Yehuda mataretz l'tameh, Rav Kahana mataretz l'tameh. How's Rav Kahana going to read this braisa? Let's remember Rav Kahana holds that there's a machlekas tanoim where the stoma is potur, or stoma is chayev. Rav Kahana read into the first braisa that stoma is chayev, and the third braisa says explicitly stoma, and the second braisa, sorry, said explicitly, and the third braisa for that matter said explicitly that stoma is potur. It's a machlekas tanoim, and these are the machlekas tanoim. Where? Beisecho. It says in the pasuk beisecho, and now we're reading the braisa again through the glasses of Rav Kahana. Beisecho, beischa miyuchad lecha. Who's chayiv mezuzah? Only if it's unique for your own personal residence. Prat lebeis ha-teven, lebeis ha-bokor, lebeis ha-eitzim, lebeis ha-oitzreis, shepturim min ha-mezuzah, bistam. Is Rav Kahana added this in, that the Tanakama who say that potur, stoma is potur. V'yeshem ha-chayivin, and the opinion that argues and says chayiv, bistam, says a machlekas tanoim by stoma. And be'emes omru, how's Rav Kahana reading the last part of the braisa? Beis hakisei, beis haborsiki, beis hamerchatz, beis hatfila, v'shanoshim no'isos behen. What does no'isos behen mean according to Rav Kahana? My no'isos, roichatzos. And roichatzos, everybody agrees that, and that's Rav Kahana himself understood that in the first braisa, that roichatzos is potur. It's inappropriate to have a mezuzah there. And that's how he understands the second part of this braisa number four, the apturim min ha-mezuzah. Now the Gemara is asking, if you, Rav Kahana, explain the braisa, that this the end of this braisa, when it says that noshim na'oseis pen, that noshim use it, is that they are bathing there, we have an issue with that, because a few words earlier, the braisa said, beis hamerchatz. It said, beis hamerchatz, u beis hatvila, v'shanoshim na'oseis pen. Noshim na'oseis pen, what does that mean? According to Rav Kahana, they're bathing. So beis hatvila is a place where there's no odor at all. There's no zuamo. However, beis hamerchatz and noshim noises ben is the same thing. Why does it say it twice according to Rav Kahana? Yehocha haynu merchatz. Answers the Gemara, no. Oshmi'inon is coming to impress on us merchatz de rabim v'ishmi'inon merchatz de yochid. To tell us not only is a public bathhouse where there's a lot of odor and zuamo there and bad smell, but even in a private bathhouse, a private bathroom, so to speak, There's also an exemption of mezuzah there. So Salkadai Tchamina, I may have thought, Merchatz Darabim, only a public bathhouse, the Nofish Zuamo, that there's a very strong and bad odor. That's when it's potter. Aval Merchatz Tiochid, Deloy Nofish Zuamo, Eimele Chayev Mezuzah, I may have thought that is Chayev Mezuzah, Komashmer on the Chiddush is, that even there it's potter. So we've had a very clear reading of Braisa number 4, according to Rav Kahana, that there's a machlekas in the Braisa where the stoma is chayev, stoma is potter. And Rav Kahana explained Braisa number 1, according to the opinion that stoma is chayev. Braisa number 2 and 3 is according to the opinion that stoma is potter. Now it's Rav Yehuda's turn to explain the Braisa number 4. Rav Yehuda mataritz letame, let's remember, Rav Yehuda held that everybody says stoma is potter. Nobody says stoma is chayev. So Rav Yehuda is going to explain the Braisa as follows. Hochi k'toni. Now we're going to start reading the Braisa again from Rav Yehuda's perception. Beisecho, beischa miyuchad lecho. Who's required a mezuzah? A home that's unique for your own dwelling. Prat lebeis ha-teven, or beis ha-bokor, beis ha-eitzim, beis ha-oitzreis ha-pturim in a mezuzah. When is it potter? A filib miskashtis. That it's potter even if miskashtis. And Rav Yehuda says that everybody says stoma is potter. That was Rav Yehuda's opinion. The Tanakhama say potter even if women use it to adorn themselves. The yesh mechayvin is not by stoma. It's by miskashtois. It's only when it's miskashtois, that's when it's going to be chayev. So according to Rav Yehuda, we have a machloikas tanoim here, where the miskashtois is chayev or potter. Aval stam, but if it's not miskashto, if it's stoma, divrei hakel potter. Everybody agrees that it's potter. So Rav Yehuda explained Braisa number 1 that miskashto is potter. Braisa number 3 said explicitly miskashto is chayev. No problem. It's a machlekes tanoim. How's Rav Yehuda reading the continuation of the Braisa? Be'emes omru beis akisi or beis abursuki or beis amerchatz or beis atvila afal pisha noshim miskashto is bohen. He learns that over there, all these places that are beis akisei, etc., even if noshim are miskashtos behen, even if the women are adorning themselves there, and we said that by stoma, Rabbi Yehuda says potur, but if miskashtos, that's a reason to be mechayev, that's only a regular storage room. But all these other rooms which are inappropriate to have a mezuzah, even if women adorn themselves there, and in and of its own, adorning oneself is a reason to be chayev mezuzah, at least according to one opinion. Nonetheless, pturim min mezuzah, in these rooms that are generally used for activities that are inappropriate to be witnessed by a mezuzah, then it's pturim min mezuzah mishum denofish zuami, because it's a very strong and bad odor there, and therefore it's potter from mezuzah. So far, everything is working out. Now comes the very big, the final Braisa number 5, that's going to tip the scales. Because as of now, we haven't yet had a single Braisa that says explicitly that stoma is chayev. And if we find such a Braisa, we're going to have an issue with Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda says that everybody agrees stoma is potter, and the whole machlekas is if it's miskashtois. Here comes that Braisa. Well, Rav Yehuda, stoma, divrei hakol potter. You, Rav Yehuda, hold that by stoma, everybody says it's potter. Votanya, we have Braisa number 5. Bish orecho. It says in the Pasuk that the gates also are chayev in mezuzah. Echot shari batim, echot shari chatzeres. We saw this at the beginning of the shiur today. Echot shari medinois, echot shari ayoris. Verefes. Till now we saw in the Braisa at the beginning of the Omer today. But here the Braisa carries on. Echot shari verefes. And barns for animals. Velulin and chicken coops. Matvon and places where straw is stored, v'oitzreis yayin, where wine is stored, v'oitzreis shemen and oil, all these chayovin b'mezuzah. It's talking about a stoma, and it says explicitly chayov. And the Braisa is now going to continue with another 3 brackets of halacha in mezuzah, but from here alone, we have refuted Rav Yehuda. But let's first continue and finish the Braisa. Yochil shani marbe, I may have thought there's a chiyuv mezuzah af, also in a second bracket of entrances. For example, Beis Shar, which is a gatehouse where everybody just walks through it, Achsadra, a porch, Marpeset and a balcony. I may have thought that all those are also chayev. Talmud Leiman. No, bayis, ma bayis, miyuchad ladira. In the same way as bayis is unique, that it's used for dwelling and for residence. Yotzu elu, but all these, which nobody dwells in them, she'ein miyuchadim ladira. Yachil, let's take bracket number 3. I may have thought Shani Marbe, that one's Chayiv Mezuzah, Af Beis HaKiseh, Beis HaBurusakir, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaTvila. All these places that we've learned already are inappropriate to have a Mezuzah there. Talmud Loi Mabayis. So in the fact that the Pasuk says that Mezuzah only goes to Bayis, Mabayis also Lekovid, in the same way as Bayis is typically a place where one does things that are respectable, Afkola also Lekovid. Only when it's a respectable type of residence and use, then you put Mezuzah. But in those rooms where one does things that are that little bit less Kovid, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. Yatsu Elu She'en Asuyin Lekovid. And now the fourth bracket. Yochel Shani Marbe, I may have thought there's a Chiyuv Af Harabayis, the gates, the entrances into the Harabayis, Valishkois, Vazoris, that in the different chambers and the Azoris, in the Beis HaMikdash, I may have thought there's a Chiyuv Mezuzah there. Talmud Lema Bayis, Ma Bayis Shu Choyl, in the same way as a typical home is Choyl, it's not Kodesh. Af Kol Shu Choyl, Yotzu Elu Shem Kodesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabayis, the Beis HaMikdash, which is Kodesh, Kodesh is exempt from Mezuzah. So this is the Braisa. But in the first part of the Braisa, we saw explicitly that all these storehouses, Stoma Chayovim B'Mezuzah, that's not like Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara Tufta, indeed it's a refutation against Rav Yehuda's opinion, and Rav Kahana's opinion stands that Stoma is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Continues the Gemara, Toni Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei D'Rava, Shisha Sha'orim Pturim in a Mezuzah, 6 gates are potter from Mezuzah. Let's count. 1. Beis HaTeven, a storage room for straw. 2. Beis HaBokor, where animals are kept. 3. Ubeis HaEitzim, where wood is kept. 4. Ubeis HaOitzreis, other storage. 5. V'Shar HaModai, an arched doorway, an arched gateway. 6. V'Shar She'enei Mekura, and a gate that doesn't have any roof. 7. V'Shar She'enei Gevoya Asara, or a gate, an entranceway that's not 10 Tfochim high. Omer Lei, Rava responded to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Potachto b'shisha, you opened up your comments, your teaching, saying that there's going to be 6 gates, v'silakto b'shiva, and then you continued and numbered 7 of them. Omer Lei, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said to Rava, you're right, but one of them was not included in the 6. One of them is not unanimously agreed upon. Shar HaModai, regarding an arched entranceway, Tanoi, it's actually Machlokes Tanoim. The Tani we learnt in the following Braisa, Kippa, an arched doorway. And before we continue the Braisa, let's try and understand what's clear. What's clear is that to be Chayev Mezuzah, you need a door that's at least 4 Tvachim wide and 10 Tvachim high. And that's an exact 40 square Tvachim of entranceway. What happens if, and we know that very often, entranceways are arched, which means that they start off wide enough, but the time you reach the top of the entranceway, then they come to a point, or almost a point, they're curved. There's no, the highest most point of the entranceway is no 4 Tvachim wide. So obviously, if you have an airspace of 4 wide and 10 high, and the arch is beyond that, there's nothing to discuss. It's a regular doorway. Of course, you're chayiv b'mezuzah. The question is going to be, what happens if it starts curving and gets less than 4 Tvachim wide before the height of 10 Tvachim? So we're going to see that the whole discussion only starts if at least for 3 Tvachim off the ground you have a 4 Tvachim wide. Because up to 3 Tvachim, we learned about this earlier in Shas, up to 3 Tvachim off the ground is just considered like a thick layer of ground. So if the doorway is only 4 Tvachim wide, for the height of 2 Tvachim, that's not considered a doorway at all, there's nothing to discuss, everyone says there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. If you have at least 3 Tvachim of doorway, which is 4 Tvachim wide, so now you there's what to talk about. But so the problem is that before the doorway reaches the height of 10 Tvachim, it starts curving and then the width becomes less than 4 Tvachim. That's going to be the discussion. And they're going to discuss only the following situation. In the event that the doorway, that the door frame itself is completely curved, not just the entranceway is curved, is carved out of a large wall or a larger wall and it's carved out as a curve, but if the whole doorway is a curve, then there's nothing to talk about either. Because even if you wanted to imagine that you would have an imaginary type of door that's carved into the wall, that wouldn't help because there's no wall to carve into. And you'll see in some of the Gemaras as a diagram, if you have a triangle, if you have a doorway, that the whole door frame comes to a point, there's nothing to imagine that you could carve out, then again, everybody agrees that this doorway is potter from mezuzah. The question will be, and some of you will see this in a second diagram on the sides of your Gemaras, where you have a large wall that theoretically they could have carved into the wall a doorway which is a full 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide. They just chose, for whatever reason, to carve the entranceway, but potentially they could carve out of the wall, not to carve, to curve the entranceway, but potentially they could carve out of the wall the rest of the doorway. That's going to be a machlekes tanoim. Let's see this inside. The tani we learnt in a braisa kippah, an arch doorway. Reb Meir mechayev b'mezuzah v'chachomim p'turim. Reb Meir says chayev, the chachomim say potum. V'shovin, they both agree shem yesh b'raglo asoro shechayovin b'mezuzah. Everybody agrees that if the side, if the door posts are 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide before it starts curving, then definitely it's chayev. Omar Abaya says the kule alma gavoya asoro v'ein b'raglo gimel v'lav klumhu. Everybody agrees that even if the centermost point, the highestmost point in the doorway is 10 tvachim high, but if at the foot of the doorway, the foot posts, the 3 tvachim closest to the ground are not 4 tvachim apart, are not 4 tvachim apart, v'lav klumhu, there's nothing doing, and there's, the doorway is not considered a doorway, and it's potter. Le'nechluku, they're only arguing, ela begavoya asara, if the highest most point in the doorway is 10 tvachim off the ground. V'yesh baraglo gimel, and you've got the lowest 3 tvachim of the doorposts are 4 tvachim apart. V'ein barachbo dalad, but the rest, from above the 3 tvachim, it's curving, and therefore you haven't got a width of 4 tvachim all the way to the top. However, but you do have a wall into which potentially, theoretically, or imaginary, you could carve into it a full 4 tvachim width of the whole 10 tvachim height. In that case, Reb Meir Sovar, Reb Meir says, you imagine that it's been carved out of the wall and the door is a proper door and it's chayev. Rabbanon Sovrein Chaykim Lashlim, the Chachomim say, all the while the entranceway doesn't have an actual 4 tvachim wide by 10 tvachim high, the door is potter from mezuzah. Continues the Gemara. We're continuing with mezuzah. Tonu Rabbanon, Beis HaKnesses a shul, Ubeis HaIsha, a home, a room belonging to a woman, Ubeis HaShutfin, or a house belonging to partners, Chayeves b'mezuzah. They are all chayev b'mezuzah, says the Gemara Pshita. What's the chiddush? Why shouldn't they be chayev b'mezuzah? The people dwell in them, people use them. What's the difference if the person inside is a woman or if it belongs to partners? Says the Gemara, no. Maldatema, I may have thought that since it says in the Pasuk, beisecho, meaning yours, and cho is yours in masculine terms, v'loi beisa, it's yours, male, not yours, a woman. Yours in singular, not yours in plural. And I may have thought that a woman or partners are potter. Kumash Malon, that's the chiddush of this braisa, is telling us that you're chayev. So the question is, who told the braisa? Maybe it's true that the way that we're reading Beis Echa, and indeed a woman's home or the home of partners are going to be potter. Who told you that you're chayev? Omar Cross says the Gemara, no, because the Pasuk says in the parish of Mezuzah, Leman yirbu yumeichem v'meiv meneichem. In the merit of Mezuzah, you'll have longevity, your children will have a long life. Hanu boyechaya v'hanu loy boyechaya. Do these people, partners and women, not need or want life? Of course they do. And therefore, logic dictates that they're chayev with Mezuzah. And the chiddush is, don't read the Pasuk and say that Beis Cha is excluding them. The question is, Elo Beis Cha Lomali. So why does the Torah say Beis Cha if it's clear to us that it's not what it actually means? Says the Gemara Kedarova, Beis Cha is actually teaching us something else. We read Beis Cha, it sounds similar, and it's similar letters to Bi'os Cha. You're coming in, you're entering. The Omarova Derech Bi'os Cha. The place on the doorpost, put the mezuzah, is similar to the way that you enter. V'chi okar inishkari. When a person enters, when a person starts walking and starts moving, what does he do? Do you mina okar bereisha? The first foot that he lifts is the right-hand foot. So this is coming to teach us when you're going into a room, the mezuzah has to go derech bi'oscho. It has to go on the right-hand door post of the doorway. Continues the Gemara. Tanya edoch, another braisa. Beis ha-kneses u'beis ha-shutvin. And now we're moving away from mezuzah and we're going to negoim. And we know there's a halacha that on a person's home, it's possible for a person's home to have tzaras, to have a boil, to have a stain on the wall, and then the kohen has to come, depending on the color, on the size, etc., where the kohen will say, this is tzoras, and a whole procedure. So the question is, what type of home would become tomei, or would have the halachas of negoim? Beis ha-kneses, a shul, or beis ha-shutfin, a home belonging to partners, or beis ha-isha, and a home of a woman, metamin b'negoim, their homes are called bayis. And therefore, since it's bias, the tzaras, the negoim, can apply to them. Says the Gemara Pshita, what's the chiddush? Why shouldn't it be a bias? Says the Gemara, Maudatei ma'ay may have thought, since it says in the Pasuk, Uvo asher loy habayis, v'higid lakoyin leimir kenega nirali babayis, that the owner, the one, the person, asher loy to him, is a home, he comes and tells the koyin that I've seen a nega, in my home, on my home. The word loy, similar to the chof, to the beis chof we saw before, the loy seems to be his. His as in single tense, and his as in male, not female. So I may have thought, ma'odoteimu bo asher loy habayis. Loy means him v'loy lo and not her. Loy means him v'loy lo hen and not them, partners, kumash malon. So the Bryce is coming to impress on us that negoim could apply. Ve'imochanami, who told you? Maybe you're right, that negoim can only apply to his single, his male home. Says the Gemara, no. Or makro, because there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, ki savoyu el eretz kenan, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, ashani noisei nochem la'achuzo, that I'm giving to you as an inheritance, v'nosati nega tzoras b'veis eretz achuzaschem, and in the place, in the land of your inheritance, that's where negoim could apply. So you see from there that any land that's been inherited that belongs to you can have negoim, and even partners inherited Eretz Yisrael, and even women inherited Eretz Yisrael. If so, asks the Gemara, Elo loy, why indeed does the pasuk say that? Who comes to the kohen loy him? Why do you use that term loy if you don't mean that term? Lomoli answers the Gemara that loy means who's going to get tzaras on his home. And the consequences of having tzaras, a worst case scenario, is that the whole home has to be knocked down, not before all the contents of the home are removed from the home. Do you know who's going to be deserving of a punishment like that? Misha miyachid beisoy loy. Somebody who's got tzaras ayin. Somebody who's very miserish. Somebody who doesn't want to share his objects or anything, that his belongings, with somebody else. Somebody who's miyachid his home just for himself. He doesn't want to lend his neighbors any of his property, any of his belongings. And he tells his neighbor, I'm sorry, I haven't got. The neighbor came and asked for a utensil or asked for something, and this miser says, no, I'm sorry, I haven't got. Ah, you haven't got. And Hashem says, I'll show everybody that what you do have. When you have to empty out your home and you have to empty your home because of tzaras, everybody will see that you do have, and it's just your bad midas why you're not lending it to them. So when it says loy, it's not coming to exclude her, it's not coming to exclude them, it's coming to exclude prat lemashal kelov lachirim. Somebody who's kind and is lending his utensils and his property to other people, his belongings to other people, that person will not be deserving and will not have negoim in his home. Continues the Gemara that we just saw at the beginning of this second brisa, ubeis ha-kneses mimetami b'negoim. We saw in the brisa that a shul is subject to tzaras, to negoim. A shul can have negoim. Well, Tanya, this seems to contradict a different brisa. The Braisa says, Yochel, you boti knesios, you boti midrashis, metamin benegoim. I may have thought that shuls, places where you daven, places where you learn, beis hamedrash, could become tomei with negoim. Talmud loima, it says in the pasuk, uboa asher loy habayis, that only somebody who is loy, where a home that belongs to him, he comes to the Kohen will come and say it's tzaras. Only misha miyuchid loy, only when it's unique to him. Yotsu Eilu, that means it's unique, it has identified owners. We know who the owners are. You know who the owners are, that type of home can have Nagoim. But Yotsu Eilu, the exclusion of shuls, Bote Knesiyos and Bote Medrashos, She'ein Miyuchodim Loi, you don't know who the owners are. The owner, it's not clear who the owners are. Maybe it's not unique to him. We'll soon see exactly how to read this, the Miyuchodim Loi. But you see here clearly, in the Braisa, that since a shul is einon miyuchodim loy, therefore there's no tzoras applying there. And that's contrary to what we saw in the Braisa on the first of the wide lines, that beis haknesses or beis hashutfin, etc., is metamin b'negoim. That's a stira, a contradiction the Gemara asks. And the Gemara is going to give a number of possible answers. Loy kashya, the first one is horeb mea, Horabonon. We're about to see a machlokes tanoim, and the braisa that says that shuls can become tomei is Reb Meir, and the braisa that says shuls cannot become tomei is the rabbonon. The tani we learned in a braisa, beis haknesses sheyesh bo dira lechazna haknesses, a shul has a room there where the chazan can actually dwell there and use it as his own. He's using it there. Chayev b'mezuzah. However, if the shul is uniquely used just to daven in or just to learn in, but there's nobody who's actually dwelling there, then it's a machlekas. Reb Meir mechayev, v'chachomim poitrin. Reb Meir says, nonetheless, the shul is chayev b'mezuzah, and the chachomim say potur. So what do you see from here? There's a machlekas regarding a shul that does not have a beis dira. Nobody dwells there. There's a machlekas, Reb Meir and the chachomim, whether it's called bayis regarding mezuzah. We assume the same will apply to Negoim. According to Reb Meir, who says it's Chayiv b'mezuzah, it's called a bias, Reb Meir will say that these shuls will also be able to become Tomei. It's a bias. However, the Chachomim who say it's Potur, because there's no Beis Dira there, nobody dwells there, so he'll say the same by Negoim, that the shuls will be Potur. That was one answer. Another suggested answer, ha v'ha rabbonon. Both braisas could be following the rabbonon, who say that when there's no beis dira, then there's no chiyuv mezuzah, it's not called bayis. So how are you going to explain the contradiction? V'loi kashya, ha de'isbe beis dira. The braisa that says that shul is subject to negoim is talking about a type of shul which has a beis dira. Then it's called a bayis. Hodelesve beis dira. And the braisa that says the shul doesn't have negoim is talking about a type of shul where there's no beis dira. V'ibayis ema, third suggestion. Hodelesve beis dira. It could be that both braisas are talking about a shul that does not have a dwelling place, a room where somebody uses as a dira. And what's the difference between the two braisas? Vahodekrochim, vahodekforim. There's a very big difference between the shuls in the big cities, which do not become Tomei with Negoim, and the shuls in the little villages, that they do become Tomei. What's the difference between them? Because in the shuls in the city, the owners are not identified. We don't know who the owners are, because everybody comes, everybody uses them, people from out of town, everybody's using it. So it does not have a very distinct and discernible owners, and therefore it's not called, it's potter. There's no negoim there. However, where the villages, where the shul serves only the people in this village and everybody knows exactly who's using the shul, that type of shul can have negoim. Asks the Gemara, Udekrochim ein metami b'negoim? Are you suggesting that regarding the krochim, the shuls of the big city, that there's no tzaras can apply to them because so many people are using it and it's not nikar? Rashi says that the bail of nikorim, you cannot see who the owners are, and that's the reason to exempt the person from, to exempt this place from negoim. Well, Tanya, we learnt in a braisa, regarding Tzaraas. The Pasuk says, and we mentioned this Pasuk before, that Tzaraas applies bebeis eretz achuzaschem, in the homes of the land that you've inherited. Achuzaschem metami benegoim. Only if you inherited it, then there's a chiyuv of negoim. Ve'en Yerushalayim metami benegoim. Yerushalayim is different. Yerushalayim was never inherited by the Shvatim, by the tribes. We'll soon see this opinion holds that Yerushalayim was not given out to the tribes, only the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Yerushalayim, the homes in Yerushalayim don't belong to anybody, and therefore they don't have Nagoim. But what do we see from here? That besides for Yerushalayim, everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, Nagoim applies. Even in the big cities. So how can you say that in the big cities, Nagoim doesn't apply to the shuls there? Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responded in the Braisa, responded to the Tanakama, Ani lo shomati, elo mokim migdosh bilvad. I only heard that the Beis HaMikdosh didn't belong to specific people. However, the rest of Yerushalayim does belong to specific people, and therefore Tzaraas can apply even in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a krochim, is a big city. How can you say that in Yerushalayim, in the shuls in Yerushalayim, there's Tzaraas, where we said before, according to this third answer in the Gemara, we said that in the shuls in a big city don't have Tzaraas. Says the Gemara, Ha botik nesiya isubotim mejoshes, besides to the Beis HaMikdosh, metamin benegoim, afal gav de krochim ninu. Yerushalayim is a big city, and nonetheless, only the Beis HaMikdosh doesn't have Tzaraas, but shuls and botim mejosh do have Tzaraas. And that's the question. Answers the Gemara, Eima, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati elo mokei mekudosh bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda actually commented and said that Ani lo shamati, I only heard that in holy places, who are the holy places? Beis HaMikdosh and shuls in Yerushalayim, that they don't have Tzaraas. But obviously private homes in Yerushalayim could have Tzaraas. And in other places, and the other big shuls and cities are similar to the Mekomis HaMekudoshim in Yerushalayim, where there will not be Tzaraas, and that answers the question. Continues the Gemara, Udekrochim Ein Metami Benegoim. This third answer of the Gemara, we said that the Braisa that says that shuls do not have Tzaraas is referring to Krochim, to the shuls of big cities who the people that the shul is serving and the owners of the shul are unidentified at all. And therefore there's no negoim. Is that true? Well, Tanya, this seems to contradict a following braisa. Achuzaschem, as we saw before, the Pasuk says that Tzaraas can only be metame, can only apply to part of, to Eretz Yisrael, which was inherited by Klal Yisrael. Achuzaschem metame benegoim. Only that which is inherited by Klal Yisrael can be subject to negoim. Ve'en Yerushalayim metame benegoim. But Yerushalayim is not included in Achuzaschem. That's what the Tanakhama says. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argued and said, Ani lo shamati ela mokim migdosh bilvad. I only heard that the Beis HaMikdosh is not included in Achuzaschem, but Yerushalayim is included in Achuzaschem. That's the end of the Braisa. And the Gemara says, Ha botik nesiya isubotim mejoshes, metamin benegoim, afal gav de krochim ninu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the Beis HaMikdosh is not included in Achuzaschem. The rest of Yerushalayim, including the shuls there, they are part of Achuzaschem, even though it's a big city. So the question is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's clear that the shuls in Yerushalayim can have Negoim. It's contrary to what we saw before. And why exactly the Gemara chooses to focus on Rabbi Yehuda with this question is discussed here by Tosfos. And why, even though Yerushalayim is called an inheritance according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Beis HaMikdosh is not called Achuzaschem, is something which we'll soon see a little bit in the Gemara, but there's a discussion here in Rashi and many other Rishonim. It's very complicated, but either way, even if Yerushalayim was inherited by Klal Yisrael, and we'll soon see in the Gemara that the opinion that says Yerushalayim was inherited, that includes the Beis HaMikdosh, was also inherited by specific tribes and Shvatim, in Klal Yisrael. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda says the Mokim HaMikdosh is not included in the bracket of Achuzaschem, and it's a big discussion why. But that's the question of the Gemara. From Rabbi Yehuda, you see that the shuls in Yerushalayim can have Nagoyim, even though it is Krochim, it's in a big city, and this seems to contradict what we said before, the third answer in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Eima, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, change, no, you're right. What Rabbi Yehuda said, he didn't say that Beis HaMikdosh stands out and the rest of Yerushalayim can have Nagoyim. No, he said, Ani lo shamati el mokim mekudosh bilvad. What Rabbi Yehuda actually meant was, only a mokim mekudosh, meaning all shuls, Bote Knesiyos, Bote Medrash, they don't have Nagoyim, but not necessarily just Beis HaMikdosh doesn't have Nagoyim. All the other shuls and Bote Medrash in Yerushalayim also don't have Nagoyim, because they're in a big city. And then that conforms what we said before, that even though it may have been inherited by specific tribes, nonetheless, since the owners of these particular buildings are not clear, because people from all over the place are coming and using them, benefiting from them, therefore there's no Nagoyim there. Now the Gemara is saying, B'maikum iflagi, the Machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Yerushalayim was... whether the concept of Nagoyim applies to Yerushalayim or not, what's the point of their argument, and what are they arguing? Tanakama sova Yerushalayim lo nischalko l'shvatim. The Tanakama hold that Yerushalayim was never distributed, was never given and inherited to the Shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda sova Yerushalayim nischalko l'shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yerushalayim, as well as the Beis HaMikdosh, was nischalko l'shvatim. And we're about to see two brises. In the first brise, it will be clear that Yerushalayim was inherited to Klal Yisrael. And the second brise, it will be clear that not. What does it say in the first brise? The Tani we learnt in the brise. Ma he hoyo b'chelkoi shel Yehuda. So here we already see the answer. The Beis HaMikdosh, Yerushalayim, the Har HaBayis, and the Beis HaMikdosh was given to the Shvatim. We know that the Beis HaMikdosh was actually split by two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. This brayse is discussing which parts of the Beis HaMikdosh were in Yehuda's share and which parts were in Binyamin's share. Ma hoyo b'chelko shel Yehuda. Which part was in Yehuda's share? Says the Gemara. Har HaBayis. This is the brayse saying the entire Mizrach, the east of Har HaBayis, Halishkois, all the chambers that were in the Chel, which was a small area, narrow area around the outside walls of the Beis HaMikdosh, also talking about the eastern side, V'ha Azoris, the three Azoris, which means the area which covers almost flash with the Ezras Noshim, and then the Ezras Yisrael, and then the Ezras Koyanim, which is the entire area of the Mizrach, of the Har HaBayis, up until flash with the Mizbeach in the Azora, all that was belonged to Yehuda. Umahayo bechelkei shel Binyamin, what belonged to Binyamin? The Ulam, which was the little area before the Heichal. The Heichal and the Heichal, which was where the Menorah was, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach, the inside Mizbeach, Ubeis Kodshei Kadoshim, which means the entire area which is inside the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kodashim, all that belonged to Binyamin. The question is that there's a whole area in between these two, between the edge of the Azorois, which is the beginning of the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, and the Ulam, there's a large area there, and the Brisa didn't tell us in whose area that was. So the Maisa, belonged to Binyamin. It means Binyamin was not only the Ulam, Heichal, and Kodesh Kadoshim, it was the entire area, including the Mizbeach. However, the Mizbeach, we know that there was the Yisoid, the foundation, the lowest Amma of the Mizbeach was wider, an Amma wider than the rest of the Mizbeach, and that was called the Yisoid. This Yisoid actually went along the, protruded from the Mizbeach on the Tzofen side, on the north, and on the Meirev side, on the west. Now, regarding the Dorim side, which is the south, and the Meirev and the Mizrach side, which is the east, there was only a little bit of Yesoid. There was just an Amma of Yesoid protruding in those two corners, which means that the Yesoid actually covered two entire sides of the Mizbeach, an Amma of each of the remaining two sides. But on the Mizrach side and the Dorim side, besides for that Amo, there was no Yesoid. Now this Amo, this one Amo that was flush on the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, just beyond the Yesoid was just one Amo on the corner of Tzofin. The rest of that side, that really could have belonged to Binyamin, because the Mizbeach was in Binyamin's share, and the Yesoid was part of that, and the Yesoid protruded that Amma. However, there was that strip along the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, and a strip going along the Dorim side of the Mizbeach, flash to the Yesoid that protruded just for an Amma on the corner of Dorim Ma'ariv. If you have a diagram, whatever I'm saying will be easily understood. So that strip going around the Mizbeach, where the Yesoid was missing, that even though it should have been in Binyamin, but that was given to Yehuda. This strip that we just explained went out of Yehuda's part, and Yehuda's part, intrinsically speaking, was ended flash with the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, v'nichnas l'chelko shel Binyamin, and so to speak, went into the part of Binyamin and belonged to Yehuda. U'bo hayo Mizbeach bonui, and that was around where the Mizbeach was built. U'Binyamin atzadik, Binyamin, who knew that this is how the Beis Hamikdash was going to be distributed, hayo mitzta'ir, who was pained oleo, his whole life he was pained, l'bo'ilo, he wanted to absorb even that little bit more, he wanted that little bit more of Beis Hamikdash in his rishus. Every day, Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Chayfif Olov, he agonized over it kol hayom, all day. Lefikach, therefore, Zocho Binyamin Atzadik, therefore Binyamin Atzadik merited v'nase ushbizchon legevura, the Orin with the Torah, and the Shechina came from the Kodesh Kedoshim. The reason that he merited that the Orin should be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was by Binyamin, was because his whole life he agonized and wanted even more Kedusha than he had. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Ubein Kseif of Shochin, between his shoulders of Binyamin, the Shechina rested, and that's what he deserved as a result. So you see clearly that not only Yerushalayim, but even the Beis HaMikdosh was distributed to the Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. And regarding Negoim, that's different. Rabbi Yehuda, at least according to one version of Rabbi Yehuda, says that Mokim HaMikdosh, there's no Tzoras, and it's not included in Achuza for different reasons, which we cannot go into now. Rashi says, has got an interesting explanation. Many Rishonim argued with Rashi, but that's what the Gemara says here. V'hai Tanasova. Now we're going to come to a second brisa that's going to clearly say that Yerushalayim was not distributed to the Shvatim. Yerushalayim lo nischalko l'shvatim, d'tanya. Ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to hire homes in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to rent homes. Fisha'ino shalohem. If you're living in Yerushalayim, it doesn't belong to you. Yerushalayim was never given to a particular tribe or person, and therefore you have no right to rent it to anyone else. Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, af lo mitos. Not only that, but even beds in Yerushalayim you're not allowed to rent out. Lefikach, and therefore, in order to encourage the people who were living in Yerushalayim to allow the people who came for Aliyah LeRegel to be with them, therefore the Chachomim instituted that Oirois Kochim, the skins, the hides of the korbanos, bale ushbezichnin noitli noisam bezroya, that the hosts, they have rights to them, and they can even take it by force from their guests, as sort of to compensate for the fact that they cannot take rent for their beds and for the space in their homes. Omer Abaya said Shmamino, we see from here Oirech Ara that it's common and it's correct practice, le mishbak inish, that person should leave gulfa, jug, moshcha, and skins, le ushbizia, by a host. If somebody hosted you, leave over a tip, leave something extra. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to the Gemara, the top line of the Omud. The third explanation that we saw before. We had two brises where the shuls can become tommy with negoim. The third explanation was that the shuls of the krochim, of the big cities, they do not become tommy because one cannot tell who the owners are. The kforim, however, the shuls of the little villages, they can become tommy. We know exactly who is using and owning the shuls. Asks the Gemara, the kforim, the shuls of these villages, mimatami benegoim, they can become tommy with tzaras, with negoim. Votanya, this seems to oppose a brisa. The brisa says, la achuza, It's the pasuk we saw before, the Kisavoyu al Eretz Kanana, Ani Noisi Nochem La'achuza, that we're talking about Eretz Yisrael that was given to Klal Yisrael as an inheritance. What does that mean? That the Tzaraas will only start applying after it's been fully inherited by Klal Yisrael. Even after Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, there were a number of stages before and phases before Klal Yisrael actually, number one, conquered Eretz Yisrael, number one, distributed Eretz Yisrael, and even after it was distributed, it was first distributed to Shvatim, to tribes, then to families, and then every individual was given his home, his lot. All that took time. So the Braisa says, La'achuza, ad sheyichbashu oisa, that Tzaraas will only apply after they have conquered Eretz Yisrael. That took 7 years. Kovshu oisa v'lo yichalku alu shvatim, after they conquered it, but they have not yet distributed it, it took another 7 years to distribute Eretz Yisrael. Cholku l'shvatim, after they distributed it to the tribes, v'lo cholku l'beis avos, but they did not yet distribute it per family. Cholku l'beis avos, v'ein kol echod v'echod makir es shiloi, if they distributed it to families, but every single individual owner was not clear yet exactly which lot was his. Minayin, how do you know that Tzaraas does not apply? Talmud Leimah says in the Pasuk, Bo Asher Loi Habayis, that the Pasuk says that Tzaraas applies when the person actually owns his home. The owner of a home has, he comes to the Kohen. Misha Miyuchad Loi, and only somebody who the home is Miyuchad to him. That means it's not good enough to know who are the collective owners of this property, because then Beis Av would have been enough. This property belongs to this family. No, we see clearly from the Pasuk, Asheloi Abayis, that it has to be clearly defined exactly who owns what. In which case, these shuls of the villages, it's true that we know that the shul belongs to all the people in this village. It's not like the big cities where the shul, we have no idea who it belongs to, everybody comes to use it. People come from all over the world and gather there. No, that's not enough. It has to be that it's unique. We know exactly what belongs to who. The shuls in the villages, we don't know exactly what part of the shul belongs to who. Yotzu Eilu She'ein Miyuchadim Loi. And this is a contrary to what we said before. And the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Mechaverto, the correct way of explaining the contradiction between the two brises, whether shuls can become Tomei with Negoim or not, is Kedoshanin on Mikora. It's not this third answer, it's the other answers in the Gemara that we saw before that is dependent on the Machlokes Reb Meir and the Rabbonon, if it didn't have a Beis Dira, or it depends whether it had a Beis Dira. And either way, there it's clear that the Negoim apply because of a specific dwelling place by a specific person, as we saw in the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. But indeed, in the shuls, in the villages, where you cannot tell what part of the shul belongs to who, it's not clearly defined, there's no Tzaraas there, and therefore that third answer falls away. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.